Well, it's good to be here.
Amen.
And I'm certainly glad I'm saved. And I'm more glad now than I've ever been. Getting closer to home. I appreciate each one of you. I wonder if anybody else got anything on your heart you want to mention before I read. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians, and let's look in chapter 15. It's got a few verses I want to read, and the Lord will help me, and the Holy Ghost will come and empower me and help me. And if He don't, I sure won't be long. And, but chapter 15, and I want to look at verse 51 to start our reading tonight. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." I'm going to stop with that verse. And if the Lord will help me, I want to preach tonight on changes.
Amen.
A lot of things change. In my life, I've seen many changes take place. I remember where I grew up. Little old place in eastern Kentucky in Estill County back in the mountains. Little place called Doe Creek. It's between two big mountains, one on each side, and a little valley run down. Creek ran down through that valley. Gravel road ran almost all the way from town up, which was about 6-7 miles out of town, and run up that little valley. I remember the old houses that stood when I was a boy. We walked to school, had to walk around a mile and a half or 2 miles. School buses didn't run for us in that day. Went to a one-room school. Burned wood for heat. Had a pot-bellied stove in the middle of the floor. Everybody up that road had a little farm, a little piece of ground. Most of it hillside. Raised tobacco. Most of them for the biggest part of their income. Poor people. Raised poor. Didn't have nothing. I go back now and just about every one of those old folks are gone. Roads been blacktopped. Many of the old houses are now been torn down, gone. New houses built and younger generation moved in. And everything's just changed. It ain't like it used to be. I go up that road and I look over to where my grandfather's old log house was. Hull of it's still there. The barns are gone. Some of the other old places the same way. And I think, my goodness, how things have changed over the years. Places change, and I know that that's not the only place that's changed. I know places where you've been and where some of you grew up has changed. It's not the same. Changes are prevalent. They're going to take place. We can't stop change. And then I think of people and how they change. People I grew up with. Boys and girls that I went to school with, a lot of them's done gone on. And how different that some of them are now, not only in physical appearance, but in personality. How they've changed down through the years. And I see some of them, they don't even recognize me, and some of them I don't recognize for the changes that's taken place in our lives. Things just change. And then I think how customs have changed. Went to a one-room school, had grade, didn't have such things, kindergarten when I went to school. Started out in the first grade. One-room school, and I think about 43 kids in that school that I went to, the best I can remember, it's the last years that I remember. First through the seventh grade, and at one time through the eighth. I think of how we learned, how we were taught. We went in, and I'm talking about a public schoolhouse. We went in the morning. We had prayer. Every child, if they didn't have a little New Testament, they were given one. Teacher would read the scripture to us. One teacher that taught there for a year or so taught her first grade class to use Bible scripture to learn the ABCs. We prayed. And they had an old upright piano standing over one side of the schoolhouse. And there was always some girl or the teacher that could play that piano. And we had what you call a church, or a school rather, songbook. I run into one about 10 years ago and tried to buy it. The girl wouldn't sell it to me. It had gospel hymns like our songbooks in our churches, but it also had other songs in it. It had songs like Home on the Range and Carry Me Back to Old Virginia and Old Black Joe, and had Dixie in it. And we sang those songs as well as Christian songs, and we had to take our lunch to school. Most of us, the support we take, I remember many times I took biscuits and maybe a piece of hog meat on that biscuit, or sometimes a biscuit and an egg, making an egg sandwich out of it. Have a biscuit and jelly for dessert, and no soft drinks, drank water. Had a pump outside in the yard. But I think when I was about 12, 13 years old, they built a new big school about 5 miles away. Huge big brick school. I thought it was huge. It ain't huge now. But all those one-room schoolhouses consolidated and moved into that school. Broke my heart. Just giving you an idea through my own experience of how things change. The changes that we see take place, sometimes not for the better. It breaks our hearts sometimes to think of it. But there's one day on December the 1st, 1977, that the greatest change I ever experienced in my life took place.
Yes, yes.
And I walked into a little old missionary Baptist church down there in that valley one Sunday morning, and the old man of God got up and preached the Word of God to my heart and brought Holy Ghost conviction to me that morning. And I left in trouble. I could not eat. I could not work on the job. I could not sleep. Such a guilt and condemnation down in my soul. A conviction, and the burden was so strong I could not get no rest. I didn't really know much about anything about being saved. I wasn't reared in church. My mom and dad was lost when I come up. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. The burden is so strong. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I started doing everything that I know to do that was right. And Brother Ken, I quit everything that I knew that was wrong that I knew of. I thought that I could do that and the guilt and shame would go away. But instead, it grew worse. And I thought, Lord God, what am I going to do? And about Thursday, I went to Mom. I said, I don't know what to do. I couldn't wait to get back to that church house. You see, I thought that I had to be in the church house to get saved. And not only that, I thought that I had to wait for an invitation to be given before I could go to the altar. And so I walked in the church house the next Sunday morning. And as I walked in, I done made up my mind. I done settled it in my heart that whatever that preacher told me to do, that I was going to do it. If he'd have told me to run through a wall, I'd have tried it. And I remember a different visiting preacher was preaching that morning. And he said, as he preached, I don't remember anything he said. I was sitting about where Brother Swisher's was sitting in the church house, and I remember waiting. It was a custom for the man of God to step down in that church, and when he gave an invitation, he'd hold out his arms like this and start. That's what I was waiting on. And finally he got through and he stepped down. I was crying so loud that you could have heard me a block away. A tear streaming down my face. A lost without God. A needing God. And I ran as fast as I could to the altar. I threw my arms around that preacher's neck and I said, I won't be saved. And he said, talk to the pastor. Church house was full that morning. I let go of him. The pastor was my great uncle, his way up in years and white headed. And I grabbed a hold of him and I said, I won't be saved. I was crying all at the same time. He just turned around, never said nothing, just turned around and pointed at the altar. And he said, get right down there and pray. And I remember, as I knelt down, I remember thinking, I don't know how to pray. I've never prayed before. But when I knelt down, I said three words. God help me. God help me. I probably said it 20, 30 times. I said, God help me. God help me. God help me. And just in a little while, Brother Danny, a sweet burden from heaven's world that went into my soul, and that burden left me. And I won't tell you, I felt like a newborn baby. Well, that's really what I was. And I felt so clean and so pure when I rose from that altar. And the old man of God said, well, has the Lord saved you? I said, I guess he has. I never felt like that before. And to tell you the truth, I've never felt like that since completely. But God saved me that day. It's the greatest change that ever took place in my life. 29 years old. An outlaw. I won't even try to name the life that I lived and the things I was involved in. Wicked. Mean. But that day, everything changed. Those old things passed away. And everything become new. I had a different outlook on everything. My attitude changed. My outlook changed. Those people in that church, I didn't like hardly any of them. And boy, that morning I loved every one of them. Everything just changed, and I began to see things so differently. And I couldn't wait to get back to church that night. I thought, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. And I'll just tell them before I got home. God has saved me. And I remember going back that Sunday night, and boy, my heart was just flooding over with joy. Such peace in my soul, Brother Robert. Oh, I felt so good. Oh, Lord God, how that is when God saves you and lets you know, and the peace and joy comes into your soul. And what He done, He just changed all my walk to. I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to lie anymore. I didn't want to go to the wrong places anymore. I didn't want to run around with the people that I run around with. I didn't want to do anything nearly that I used to do. Just everything changed. I'm talking about changes. And I'm just testifying tonight. That's all right. And I remember on that following Wednesday, the big snow on the ground. 6, 7, 8 inches of snow. Back up that curvy road and a few little hills. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to church. She said, they won't have no church tonight up there. The way the weather is. And I said, I'm going to see there. And I went up there, and they was probably 8 or 10 in that church when I went in. And to me, it felt like there's 1,000 in there. Preacher preached, said, I'm not going to hold you too long the way this weather is. He preached, and he looked at me, and I was sitting about where Brother Kevin is. And he looked at me, and he said, Brother Larry, I want you to dismiss in prayer. Scared me to death. And I really didn't know how. I hadn't thought of that, you know. I mean, I hadn't thought of him asking me. But I remember in school, I learned a prayer as a little boy. And I said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Preacher said, that's the prettiest prayer I've ever prayed. Ain't it strange how God changes individuals? 2 weeks before, you couldn't have drugged me in the church house. But you know what I did that morning? In essence, I can say it like this. I give up my rights to my faith. And I said, I'm not mine anymore, Lord. But I'm yours from here on out. And you take me and make out of me what you want me to be. And but you know that's not the only changes that takes place when you're saved. I noticed as I begin to study and pray and attend the house of God that I begin to see things that I've never seen before in God's Word. In other words, I begin to grow a little bit in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that brought more changes into my life. That caused me to start doing things that I didn't even think about doing. I'm still growing, by the way. I'm still learning things, by the way. And then it come to my attention and my heart that I prayed a lot. And through prayer, I've seen other changes take place. Through praying, I'm still seeing that happen. My little grandson the other day, he wrote a biography or something in school about me. My grandchildren, they call me Pa. And he wrote several things in that, brought it home, let me read it. And he said, Pa does this and Pa does that. And Pa's a preacher. And he said, my Pa prays a whole lot. Said he likes to pray. I found out that prayer brings changes in your life. It causes things to change in your life. I'm still talking about changes. One change after another, and things are still changing for me, Brother Ken. I never thought that I'd ever be in Salisbury, North Carolina, preaching. I never dreamed that I'd know people like Brother Milby there. Brother Ken, Brother Hyde, and others. Things still change. And I'm enjoying it. I'm liking all these changes. Because I'm getting more of Him. And I'm getting closer to Him, Brother Hyde. Oh, how He works in your life when you want Him to, when you're willing to obey and trust. I found out that He's more than a friend. I found out over the years that it's not so much about what He done for me. And although that's the greatest thing that ever happens, but I found out there's such a thing as fellowship with Him that brings communion to your heart and soul. And it makes you to appreciate Him that much the more. It makes you just to fall deeply in love with Him. It makes you want to lay your head on His bosom and hear His heartbeat. It makes you want to fellowship with Him all the time. And even when we ain't, we're wanting to. What a Savior. What a Lord. that come down into this world and find a little old place in Estill County, Kentucky, and come right to where I was and call me into His family. Save me by His grace. I was reading something the other day. It was written back in the 17th century, I think it was. And the statement was made, I mentioned it last night, that God has made me a creature that's capable of loving Him. I ain't got over that. Changes keep coming. And they're just getting better all the time. The changes that He's done in my life has made me to appreciate Him and love Him, and has caused me to love sinners. Oh God, now I won't see sinners saved. The burden in my heart for sinners has been with me ever since God called me to preach. Before God called me to preach. Did you know when He saved me that Sunday morning that I was thinking about my wife getting saved before I left the church house? Before I left the building, I was wanting my wife to have what I got. She got it. But you know what? Of all the changes that's taken place and are still taking place, I'm waiting for that big change. I'm waiting for that big change to take place. That one that I read to you in this text, I'm waiting for that change to take place. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'm waiting for that last trump to sound, and that big change takes place. You know what the word trump is? It's a military figure. That's what it is. And He says, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And I thought of that, a military figure here. And I realized how God worked back in those days. And those Israelites headed to the promised land. Headed to cross the Jordan. And that first trumpet would sound when they get ready to move. And they'd pack up their tents and all their weapons and get them ready. And then that second trumpet would sound. And they'd all fall in line, Brother Kidd. And they'd stand there in line, waiting for that last trump to sound. And when that last trump sounded, they all marched out toward the promised land. I'm waiting for that last trump to sound. I'm waiting for that big change to take place. Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, you don't know what you're missing. Hey, I lived on both sides. I lived lost for 29 years. I know what it is to be lost. I know how it feels to be lost. I know how you think when you're lost. But thank God I know how it is to be saved. And I know how you think when you're saved. And everything is different. and everything so much better than it was. I wouldn't go back. The old hymn writer wrote, "No turning back." Boy, that's a good one. No turning back. And you know why there's no turning back? If you're really saved, you don't want to turn back. You want to press on. If you're not saved, I'm going to close. If you're not saved tonight, did you know that God wants to save you much more than you'll ever want to be saved? How much He wants to save me, preacher? He gave the best He had. He gave His only begotten Son to come into this world and die on an old rugged cross so you could be saved. If He had not come, we would none of us be saved. But God gave Him, for God so loveth the world, that's you, that's me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's forever. It's awful good down here. But it's going to be even better over there. It's just a crossing, Brother Ken. And the older I get, to realize I'm getting closer to that crossing. But you know, that's what I've been waiting for ever since I've been saved. It's for that last trump to blow so I can cross over. I think about heaven sometimes. And the New Jerusalem, that street of gold running through it, and those walls of jasper and gates of pearl. And I think about that stuff, but then I think, that ain't nothing. And then I think of Him.
That's right.
Then I get Him in my sight. If I have to stand in line a million years, I'll wait till I can fall down at His feet and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, Lord." I want to tell Him, I tell Him now, but I want to tell Him then. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Never thought I'd have a family. When I got saved, my wife and me, we'd had our son. He's 42 now. He was about 6 months old when I got saved. And boy, I thought I really loved my wife and my little son. I thought, buddy, you couldn't love him no more than I love him. But when I got saved, all that changed, because I didn't know what love was till I met Jesus Christ. And then He gave me a little girl 4 years later. She's 38 now. And she's given me a little grandson, her and my son-in-law, that's 10 years old, and a little granddaughter that's 7. And my son is giving me a little grandson. He's now 7. And a little granddaughter that's 20 months old. Oh, Lord. How could you ask to want anything better than what God can give you?
That's right.
How precious the family becomes when you get saved. How you love them, Brother Ken, and want to take care of them, want to get them to the house of God and get them saved. How precious is the gifts of our children that God has given us and our grandchildren.
Thank God.
Yes, things change. Now, I want to tell you this. I'm trying to close. But I want to tell you this. If you don't get saved, things are still going to change. But they're going to change for the worse.
That's right.
You can harden your heart against God.
Yes, sir.
And go on rejecting God. And you can put it off too long. And God might not never deal with you again. And then you'll be lost forever without any hope. What an awful thing for a person to die lost without Jesus Christ. What an awful thing for people to live a life without Jesus Christ. God wants to save you while you're young.
Yes.
I realized that more after I got saved. God wants to save you while you're young so He can use you for His honor and for His glory. He don't want you after you've lived your whole life without Him. He still saves some, but there's not near as many get saved as you think they are. I remember in the 80s, I read these statistics. Most people get saved, according to the Baptist statistics, between the ages of 18 and 25. From 25 to 35, it goes way down. From 35 to 50, it just keeps going down, down, down. And from 50 on, very, very few. Don't live your life without Jesus Christ. A lot of these folks, deathbed religion, not much of that really happens. Don't let Satan fool you. Think that you can get saved just any time you want to, right at the last minute. It don't work that way. You can't get saved without Holy Ghost conviction. And you can't get under Holy Ghost conviction without a man of God preaching you in power. You can't just say, I'm going to get saved today and walk up here and kneel down and get the one. No man, Jesus said, cometh unto me except my Father which has sent me draw him. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Must be conviction. For conviction to come, you must believe. For trust to come, you've got to start to believe. And that godly sorrow of you seeing yourself works repentance. Your repentance is toward God. And then God gives you the gift of faith to believe Jesus Christ will save. If you think there's any other way, then I've misread this Bible. Changes are going to take place. It's inevitable. Changes will take place in your life. Changes will take place in your communities. Changes will take place in the people you know. But there's one that never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and He'll be the same tomorrow.
That's right.
And what is God is in the saving business. He come to seek and to save sinners. Paul said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He wants to save you. He wanted to save me. And He did. But I had to believe. And when I began to believe, through the preaching of the Word, Holy Ghost conviction came. It happened the same with you. No, you may not get under conviction the very church service. But if God puts that Word in your heart, you might get to the house before it starts working. But more than anything else, I hope and pray if there's anybody here lost tonight, and I realize they must be,
yes,
I want you to be saved. Some of you I don't even know. But that don't matter. It ain't got nothing to do with it. I want you to be saved. I want you to know how it is to know Jesus Christ and to know that your sins has been forgiven. And to know that a settled peace has come into your soul. And you just knowing Him is the best thing ever happened to me. God bless you, Phil Hyde.